This is Travel with Rick Steves. The first foreign country Wade Davis ever traveled to was Colombia, and it continues to hold a special place for him. He travels the length of Colombia on the Magdalena River and explores how the river makes that country one of Latin America's most diverse. That's all in his book, Magdalena, River of Dreams. So, Wade, it's just a shame that so many people still think that there's a danger element because of its image from the drug cartel past, which is so long gone now. And you just got to remember, it's a new day in Colombia.
In the last year before the peace agreement mercifully came about in 2016, the FARC, one of the major leftist groups, down at that time to 6,000 cadre, mostly teenagers in search of a meal, nevertheless made $600 million from extortion and drug trafficking. So if you give me the Seattle Boy Scouts and $600 million, I can wreak havoc in Washington State. So it's important to remember that all of us who live in countries that have either tolerated the consumption of cocaine, created laws that facilitate the creation of a mafia, and had enforcement so lax that it's done nothing to curb the trade, all of us, in a certain sense, have the blood of innocent Colombians on our hands. Can you imagine if Canada had patterns of drug consumption, laws and lax enforcement, such that 85 million Americans were forced to flee their homes? Well, that's what happened to Colombia. And the miracle is that Colombia has survived. And it's because of the nature of the Colombian people, this magical thing about the Colombian people. I'll just give you one wonderful story. I met a campesino who grew up very poor. And he had founded the manatees of the lower reaches of the Bajo Magdalena, a kind of a symbol of redemption. He became the avatar of the manatees. He protected them. He brought them food when they were in periods of drought. You know, these are these extraordinary creatures. One time I said to him, he began to work with school children. And he noted that around the environs of a single small little pond of a wetland, he and the kids had found 75 species of butterflies. And I said to him, carajo, hombre, es increíble. In Canada, we only have 100. That's half the total number of butterflies we have in all of Canada. And then he said to me, ah, sí, hermano, pero la cosa es que en Colombia, un mariposa es solamente un flor que puede volar. Es por eso que tenemos tanto. And what he was saying is, yes, but you have to understand, my brother, that in Colombia, a butterfly is just a flower that knows how to fly. That's why we have so many.
Ooh, I love that. That is a beautiful example of how you can sort of broaden your ability to appreciate things and describe things, not only when you travel, and you get out of your comfort zone and you find a new place, but you're able to communicate with the people and connect.
It was just something about the intensity of the people, their subtle understanding of the fragility of the human spirit, the way that they welcomed me for who I was and allowed me to do what I wanted to do, the complexities of life that just seem to speak of authenticity for a lad coming from a rather tired and exhausted suburban life in Canada. And you know, the key thing is I went back years later and became a botanical explorer and eventually wrote a biography of my professor that came out in 2002. He was a great Amazonian explorer, a great hero in Colombia. And it came out at a time when Colombia was essentially a failed state. And suddenly this book on botanical exploration appears that doesn't say a single thing negative about Colombia, a pure celebration of the nation. And for two generations of young kids unable to travel in their own country, the book El Rio, or One River in English, became like a map of dreams. And I've been told that FARC guerrillas read it. I got a call once from Marta Ochoa, whose brother was one of the partners of the Medellin cartel, who loved the book. Everybody from priest to politician consumed the book. And in fact, Colombia, in celebrating the 200th anniversary of the nation, the National Library selected the 25 most important books in the history of the country. And One River was one of the 25.
So let's just kind of wrap things up, Wade, by talking from a traveler's point of view, how Colombia is going to get through the COVID pandemic and what we need to know about Colombia going forward. What are your concerns now with COVID and how it's hitting society in Colombia that might be different than in Canada or the United States?
Well, I think, Rick, you know, when we think of COVID in all of these countries where there's, you know, a vast number of the citizens can't work at home. They don't own laptops. You know, they live based on their daily efforts. I mean, at the mouth of the Rio Magdalena, for example, there's an incredible community of fishermen who live in shacks bleached gray by the sun. They fish at night using kites that they make out of plastic bags and twigs that carry aloft their long lines, always dependent on a north wind that blows at the end of the spit. And a single wave could sweep away their lives. The spit's not 30 feet wide, with the Magdalena on one side and the ocean on the other. But as if in conscious rejection of despair, they decorate their shacks with poetry, verse with, you know, prayers and gratitude for living in a place so beautiful. So you...
There's a fragility there, isn't there? The economy is an informal economy. A lot of the economy is in the street. People are living month to month. And if they can't go outside and make their meager income, they're in very difficult straits.
And that's why they do go outside. And that's why COVID has become a problem in Colombia. That said, Colombia has a very good system of both private and public health. And it's like every other country in the world. It's doing its best. And it certainly is doing better. Well, it's hard not to do better than the United States. So it's certainly far ahead of the curve on that front. You know, Colombia has other challenges. The peace agreement that was brought into being in 2016 has dozens and dozens of clauses with a total price of implementation of $45 billion. And it happened right at a time when oil prices collapsed. And then Colombia, without much fanfare, absorbed the greatest humanitarian crisis in the history of the Americas. And in the very months when America, the United States, was turning away women and children from Central America at the southern border with Mexico, without much fanfare, Colombia absorbed 1.8 million Venezuelans and didn't separate families. They fed the families, they housed the families, they put the children in school, they gave the families medical care, absorbing that at cost at a time when they needed all their resources to implement a peace process that was, by definition, from the start, delicate and precarious.